From this very familiar passage of Scripture, I would like us to focus this morning upon the words of verse 8, and indeed the prayer of Simon Peter. Verse 8 we read, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." It would appear from the narratives of the four Gospels that this was the third time that Peter and Andrew and the sons of Zebedee had met with the Lord Jesus Christ. As far as we can discern, the first meeting took place as a result of the preaching of John the Baptist over there in John chapter 1 and verses 40 and 41, we read, "And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus." And so through the faithful preaching of John the Baptist and the faithful labors of Andrew, we see that Peter, first of all, was one for Christ. Andrew was not content to be a hearer of the word only, but he knew that he must be a doer also. And when he saw Christ through the preaching of John the Baptist, Andrew then went and sought his brother Simon Peter and brought him to the Savior. The combined faithful efforts of John and Andrew, one soul, namely Simon Peter, was one for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul told the believers in Corinth, one will sow and the other will water, but God gives the increase. Their next meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ took place along the shores of the Sea of Galilee. Matthew chapter 4. And there's the Lord Jesus, and he's walking along the shore of Galilee, and he meets with Andrew and Simon Peter, and he also sees the sons of Zebedee that day also. We read in verse 17 of Matthew 4, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him." If in John 1, we read there about Simon Peter being one to Christ, here in Matthew 4, we read about Christ wanting Peter. And the Lord said to Simon Peter and to Andrew, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And we are told that they forsook, or they left their nets and followed him. He calls Peter to be his disciple and to be a fisher of men. And how wonderfully was this promise fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. For Simon Peter was the preacher. And filled with the Holy Ghost, Simon Peter preached. And he preached Christ. And 3,000 souls were saved. Simon Peter spread the gospel net. God was pleased to bring 3,000 souls into that net. Simon Peter and Andrew had forsaken their nets and followed Christ. But what do we have now here in Luke chapter 5? Is this the same meeting that we read about in Matthew 4? You read some of the commentators, they endeavor to reconcile Matthew 4 with Luke chapter 5. And they try to overcome the apparent difficulties there are in the two records. But we don't need to reconcile the two records in Matthew 4, John 5, or rather Luke 5, because they are two separate occasions. We're not reading about the same event. It's very evident it's not the same event. In other words, what had happened was in John 1, Simon Peter is one to Christ. Matthew 4, Simon Peter is wanted by Christ. And Simon Peter, we are told, left his nets and followed the Savior. But in Luke 5, Simon Peter has returned to fishing again. And now in Luke 5, the Lord Jesus calls him a second time. It's not an unusual occurrence for the Lord to have to call his disciples a second time, and maybe a third time, before they yield to the will of God and forsake all and go out and follow Christ and be his servants. And so here we see the Lord Jesus once again calling Simon Peter. I want you to notice the difference in Matthew 4. We're told in Matthew 4 that Simon Peter straightway, along with Andrew, left their nets and followed him. They just left their nets. But in Luke chapter 5, on this occasion we read in verse 11, they forsook all. There's a difference. They forsook all whenever the Lord called Simon Peter the second time. Oh, Simon Peter was still holding on to his nets. And he was still holding on to the ship. And he was still holding on to his friends and his family. Maybe not with his hands, but most certainly with his heart. It's interesting that the word forsook in Luke 5, verse 11, the word there means to send, to let away, or to let go. In Matthew 4, Simon Peter hadn't let go of his nets. Neither had he let go of the ship. Neither had he let go of home. It wasn't until Luke 5 when the Lord called him a second time. On another occasion we read that he forsook all. In other words, he let go of everything. The late pastor Willie Mullen used to say to God's people, he used to exhort them to let go and let God have his way in their lives. And it wasn't until Simon Peter was willing to let go that God was able to use Simon Peter. Dear child of God, to know a full surrender to Jesus Christ, we must be prepared to forsake all. We must be prepared to let go. Because until that day, until we let go, will not be considered the Lord's disciple. We know that from Luke 5. Look at verse 2 of Luke chapter 5. And they saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them. See? Simon, Peter, and Andrew were still called fishermen because they hadn't let go. We're not called disciples. It wasn't until they had let go of all that they were called disciples. And the Lord Jesus, in Luke 14 and verse 33, makes it very clear. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. It wasn't until Simon Peter forsook all, until he let go, it was then that he became the Lord's disciple. So what was it that brought about the change? We have the first call to Peter in Matthew 4. But he just left his nets. He hadn't really let go. What was it then that brought about this dramatic change in the life of Simon Peter? He had been won for Christ. He had been wanted by Christ to be a fisher of men. So what was it that brought about this change in Simon Peter? I'll tell you what it was. It was the wonder of Christ that brought about the change. Because the Lord Jesus in Luke 5 is preaching to the people standing on the shore of Galilee. And the Lord Jesus told Simon Peter to launch out into the deep and let down his nets for a great draught of fishes. And when Simon Peter and Andrew saw the size of the draught of fishes, Simon Peter came to the knees of Christ, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." He saw something that day he had never seen before. He saw Jesus Christ that day in a way he had never seen him before. He was no longer the stranger of Galilee to Simon Peter. Simon Peter saw God that day. And he realized that. He saw God in Jesus Christ. And that's why he prayed, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Simon Peter had a revelation of Jesus Christ. And dear child of God, as we've emphasized and did in the past number of weeks in our study in the letters to the seven churches in Asia, Jesus Christ revealed himself to each of those seven churches in a way that was peculiar to the needs of each church. And we emphasized again and again the needs for a revelation, a fresh view and glimpse of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Peter received that day. He had seen the Lord Jesus in Matthew 4 as the stranger of Galilee, but now he sees him as the sovereign Lord. And that's what we need today, and that's the need of the church today, and that's the need of God's people today. We need a fresh view of Christ. When was the last time we were so moved and so stirred and so humbled that we fell down at the knees of Christ and said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord"? Long time ago, isn't it? We have then Peter's revelation of Jesus Christ. It's what brought about this prayer from the lips of Peter. From time to time, the Savior chooses to manifest his presence and his power unto his people. Such manifestations will have a profound effect upon all who witness them. Daniel was given a view of Christ, and that view of the Lord Jesus changed Daniel, had a profound effect upon Daniel, this man of God. Daniel 10 and verse 5, we read, "Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man." The certain man was Christ. "And I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz." Look at verse 8. "Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption." He had seen God. He had seen Jesus Christ. And he said, "There was no strength left in me. And I saw my corruption. And I saw my sin in the presence of this certain man." That certain man was present in Simon Peter's ship that day. And Christ gave to Simon Peter a revelation of himself, and once again, like Daniel, Simon Peter saw his corruption and saw his sin in the light of the holiness of Christ. Regarding this revelation of Jesus Christ, it came to Peter according, one, to the mercy of Christ. When the people pressed upon him to hear the word, we are told in the opening verse, they pressed upon him. The word means they flocked around him. That's a good word to be used here to describe the crowd that came to hear Christ. After all, he is the shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. And the sheep flocked around him. They pressed upon him so forcibly that he was in danger of being pushed back into the sea. And he saw two ships standing, and he entered into one of those ships. And one of those ships that he entered into was Simon Peter's. There's the mercy of God. There's the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he chose Simon's. And it was in that very ship that he had chosen that he manifested his glory. That's the mercy of God. And have we not often prayed that the Lord would come and be pleased, according to his mercy, to manifest his power and his presence, even in this place, in this ship, as it were? Oh, may the Lord have mercy upon us. May the Lord extend to us his mercy and indeed reveal his glory, even unto us here. And notice, the Lord revealed himself to Peter according to his mercy in the hour of duty. We're given the time that the Lord Jesus magnified himself unto Peter. We're told in verse 2 and He saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. It was the hour of duty. This was something that had to be done. One of those mundane tasks that fishermen must perform. And yet it was at that hour of duty, when Simon Peter and the others were engaged in this mundane task of washing their nets, it was then at that hour that Christ revealed himself to them. How that hour of the mundane was dramatically changed by a revelation of Jesus Christ. Dear child of God, have you never prayed? I have. Have you never prayed, Lord, come and have mercy upon us and deliver us from the mundane? You, the mundane things of life. Have we never prayed, Lord, deliver us from the mundane prayer meeting? Prayer meeting we go along to each week. It was the same prayer meeting week after week after week. Surely we have prayed, surely we have prayed, Lord, deliver us from the mundane. Lord, come and give us a view of thyself. That would change the mundane. That would make a difference. We would have different prayer meetings then. If we had a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, come, and according to thy mercy, deliver us from the mundane services. The mundane Sabbath services. My, if we had a revelation of Christ, if we were to see Jesus Christ afresh by faith, if like Daniel we were to have a vision of him, we would have different Sabbath day services. That would be guaranteed. That's how Peter's life was changed. He had a revelation of Jesus Christ according to his mercy. We know what the Lord has said, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And surely we would say then, each one of us, Lord, have mercy on me and show me thyself. This revelation of Christ came at the hour of duty, and it came at the hour of disappointment. The Savior entered into Simon's ship and revealed his glory following a night of disappointment. Verse 5, Simon Peter said to the Lord, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. It was a disappointing night, wasn't it? Fishermen, when they go out to fish, well, they expect to catch something. But it was a night of nothing. But here's the mercy of God. Here's the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ revealed himself to Simon Peter in the hour of disappointment. The Lord often does that. You can turn to John 21. You have a similar incident there. Seven of the Lord's disciples, led by Simon Peter, have gone back to the fishing. Simon said, I go a fishing, and the other said, we go with thee. And the same thing happened. They toiled all night and caught nothing. And then it says, in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. He came and revealed himself at the hour of disappointment again. And dearly beloved, in those hours of disappointment, we can take heart. For so often it's at that hour when we've been down in the deepest valley and we've been through the darkest night, it's that hour the Lord chooses to reveal himself to us. So all is not lost in the hour of our disappointment, because that's the time the Lord, according to his mercy, may choose to reveal himself to us. Give the mercy of Christ. Give the miracle of Christ. What was done that day in Lake Gennesaret was a wonderful miracle. The draught of fishes was a miracle. After all, these skilled fishermen had toiled all the night and taken nothing. Now the stranger of Galilee enters the ship. He takes control of the situation and directs Simon Peter that they launch it into the deep and let down their nets for a great draught of fishes. And we read in verse 8, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. Notice the wording. Verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees. Note the word "it" is in italics. It's not part of the original put there by our translators to add to the sense of the verse. And so we may read verse 8, when Simon Peter saw. Saw what? What did Simon Peter see that day? One, he saw the power of Christ. That's what he saw. Simon was struck by the power Christ demonstrated that day. He had seen the power of the Word in verse 1. Because the Lord Jesus was preaching and the people gathered on to him to hear the Word. That's the power of the Word. No, you don't need any modern day inventions. As far as the worship of God is concerned, all you need is the preaching of the Word. It's the preaching of the Word that draws men to Christ. And here that Simon Peter had witnessed the power of the Word, and the power of the Word incarnate, as the people gathered around him, flocked him for to hear the Word of God. Now, Simon Peter beholds the power of Christ again. This time in his miracle working power. This time through the word that the Lord Jesus had spoken. Let down your nets for a draught. And when Simon Peter saw the power of Christ revealed in the great draught of fishes, he was so moved. He fell down at the Savior's feet and said, Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. He knew he was in the presence of God. It wasn't just the stranger of Galilee. He was in the presence of God. Dear child of God, when the power of Christ is revealed to us, when we behold, demonstrate, and say, I am a sinful man. He saw the power of Christ. He saw the provision of Christ. Peter had told the Savior, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. interesting to note that the word nothing means not one thing. Simon Peter said, Master, we have toiled all the night and we have not caught one thing. Not one thing. In net fishing, I am sure most fishermen would catch something. A few little fish that maybe they would toss back into the water again, but Simon and the others had toiled all the night and had taken nothing. Not one thing. But when Christ entered the ship and Christ spoke the word, we're told that they gathered in a great draught of fishes. So great was the draught of fishes that the net break. The word means the net was about to break. You never lost one of the fish. It didn't break, it was about to. And from the filling of that net, they were able to fill both ships with so many fish, the both ships were about to sink. That's the power of Christ. That's the provision of Christ. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And my, when we see His mighty arm made bare, and we see the workings of God in providing our needs in extraordinary circumstances, dear child of God, that ought to humble us, and that ought to bring us to the knees of Christ. But isn't that the problem? We take God's provision so much for granted. He provides for us every day. And how often do we acknowledge His goodness? The Lord rebuked Israel because they didn't acknowledge His goodness. In Jeremiah 5 and verse 24, we read, neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter, in His season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. He gives us rain. He gives us the sunshine. He gives us the harvest. And here the Lord, through Jeremiah, is lamenting the fact that His people do not even acknowledge it. There is no fear of God before their eyes, even though they have tokens of the Lord's goodness every day. And so we do, dear child of God. With the Lord's provision every day, that ought to lead us to fear God. That ought to lead us to fall at His feet and acknowledge His great goodness. Peter also saw the preeminence of Christ. Christ did what no one else was able to do. He filled the nets. And He filled the ships. No one else could have done that. He was, Simon Peter realized, in the presence of the One who even the winds and the seas obey. The winds and the seas obey Him. The very fish in the sea obey Him. The very birds in the air obey Him. Did the Lord not send a raven to feed Elijah? God sent the bird. The very birds of the air obey Him. Did the Lord not prepare a great fish to swallow up Jonah? The very fish in the sea obey Him. And Simon Peter recognized the preeminence of Christ that day. Believer, we need to recognize the preeminence of Christ. For Paul prayed that in all things he might have the preeminence. May we recognize that indeed he is the sovereign Lord. He's the sovereign God. And when Simon Peter recognized that, he fell at his feet. You have the mercy of Christ that day, you have the miracle of Christ that day, and you have the majesty of Christ. That is what Peter saw, the majesty of the God-man. For he realized only God could have done what was done that day. They had toiled all the night. You see, that's the time that fishing was to be done at night. And that's why Simon Peter and the others were washing their nets in preparation for going out again the next night. But here the Savior told them to let down their nets for a draught of fishes, and it was daytime. As far as Simon Peter was concerned, it was the wrong time to do any fishing. And after all, they had toiled all the night, these skilled, experienced fishermen. Never catch any fish now. And Simon recognized the majesty of Christ, recognized he was in the presence of the God-man, not just a certain man, but the God-man, and he fell down at his feet. We come into God's house. We recognize we're in the presence of the God-man. We'll fall down at his feet. We'll bow head and heart because we know we're in the presence of God. When Mephibosheth, a young man who was lame on both his feet, was brought into the presence of King David, Mephibosheth bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" He was in the presence of royalty, and so are we, in the presence of the King of Kings. Yet Peter's response to Christ, when Peter saw how Christ had filled the two ships with fish, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." Yet why? He was the Lord's child. What was it that Simon Peter saw in himself? After beholding the majesty and the glory of the Lord Jesus, what did Simon see in himself that caused him to pray, "Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful man"? What sins did he see? I believe that after seeing what Christ had done, recognizing the true identity of the stranger of Galilee, Simon Peter, all his doubts are remembered. He remembers how he doubted the Lord. Look how he doubted the Lord. The Lord told him to let down the nets for a draught. He didn't say, "Let down your nets and we'll try and catch some fish." No, he said, "Let down your nets for a draught. You're going to catch fish. So let down your nets. Guaranteed." And Simon, we're told, answering, said unto him, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing." There's Simon's doubts. "But sure, we have toiled all night. We have used all our skill. and all our experience. Really what Simon Peter was saying, Master, there's no point letting down our nets now. We're not going to catch anything. He doubted the Lord. And when he saw the majesty of Christ and saw the draught of fishes, Simon Peter remembered how he had doubted. Said, "Oh, I am a sinful man. I'm a sinful man because I have doubted the Lord." In the light of that, dear child of God, we would spend a lot of time at the knees of Christ, confessing our sins, because how often have we doubted Him? We have doubted His ways. He has shown us a direction to go, to take a certain road. And in our service for Him, in living for Him, we have gone that way, and we've discovered that way is strewn with thorns and briars and difficulties and disappointments, and we have doubted the Lord. Has He given us the right direction? And then suddenly we've come to realize this is the right way, after all. And how sinful we were for doubting Him in the first place. And we have doubted His word. We have doubted His promises. We've doubted His precepts that He has given to us. But then the day came when the promise was fulfilled. And the precept was realized, and we realized ourselves, oh, how sinful I am to doubt the Lord's ways and to doubt His words. We ought to be down at His feet. Say, I am a sinful man. Not only were his doubts remembered, but his disobedience was rebuked. You know, Simon Peter disobeyed the Lord that day. Look at verse 4. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets, plural. Let down your nets for a draught. Verse 5. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the nets. No. I let down the net. He disobeyed. And when there was a great draught of fishes, his disobedience was rebuked. And the rebuke brought Simon Peter to the knees of Christ. In other words, Simon was really only half-hearted in obeying the Lord. His heart wasn't in it. We have toiled all the night. We have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I let down one of the nets. He disobeyed. And when the draught of fishes was caught, his disobedience was rebuked. Dear child of God, let us never be half-hearted in anything we do for Christ. But rather, whatsoever our hand findeth to do, let us do it with our might. Notice also that his depravity was revealed. Being in the presence of one so holy, so pure, so righteous, being in the presence of God manifest in the flesh, Peter's own sinful nature was revealed unto him. So whenever you bring something to the light, that you really see how unclean it is. You can clean and polish something, but then bring it to the light and you wonder, had you polished it at all? Simon's life had been brought before the light of the world. And Simon Peter didn't like what he saw. And his depravity was revealed. And he said, I am a sinful man. Even the holiest of men, when they're brought to the light, when they get nearer the light, even of Christ, they see their sin. Consider Job, perfect man, justified, none like him in all the earth. But Job 42, verses 5 and 6, Job says, I have heard thee with the hearing of the ear, but now I see thee. And upon seeing Christ, he repenteth in dust and ashes. That's what we need. If we want to know and see the truth about ourselves, we need to see Jesus Christ. We need a revelation of Christ. And finally, and very quickly, of Peter's request to Jesus Christ. For he said, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Simon Peter was so overcome with the sense the presence of God. He prayed this prayer and made this request. Believer, have you ever been overcome by the presence of God? Do we know what it's like? The great Puritan John Flavel tells us something that happened to him. He was riding on horseback to go a long distance to conduct a meeting. And as he rode, he testifies that he was suddenly overcome with a sense of the sweetness of Christ and the glory of God. He says he stopped his horse. He says he sat there on that horse for 2 hours because he didn't know where he was. He had completely lost his bearings. And after 2 hours, he said he dismounted and got down at the side of a stream and washed his face in the cold water. And he testified that day he knew what it was like to sit on the doorstep of heaven. And he says, I don't know even if I would have been any happier had I entered heaven. He was so overcome with a sense of the Lord's presence. We know nothing about it, sure we don't. But in this prayer, in this request of Simon, there's a mistake. Simon made a mistake. He was aware of his sin and he said to the Lord, Depart from me. That's a mistake. Horatius Bonner, if you can ever get a hold of the little book, you read it in an hour or so. How shall I go to God? Read it and read it and read it again. Horatius Bonner says that in the opening paragraph of that little book, How Shall We Go to God? Quote, It is with our sins that we go to God, for we have nothing else to go with that we can call our own. This is one of the lessons we are so slow to learn. Yet without learning this, we cannot take one right step in that which we call a religious life. Rather than Simon Peter saying, "Depart from me," Simon should have said, "Lord, come to me and wash away my sins." And dear child of God, when we are overcome and we receive that revelation, that vision of a holy Christ, we may feel as though we are not, we have no right to be in His presence. But we ought not to pray, "Depart from me." We ought to pray, "Lord, come to me." For the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. His mistake and His mission. The Lord told Simon Peter, "From henceforth thou shalt catch men." He just said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." And sometimes because of our sinful ways and our weakness, we say, "The Lord could never use me." We go to Christ and have our sins dealt with. The Lord can use us. He has a mission for us all. And you're Peter's master. For we read now in verse 11, "And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." He's their master. In fact, you'll notice the change that took place. In verse 5, Peter says, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing." And then in verse 8 he said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Christ is now his Lord. He's more than master. He's his Lord. And he forsook all and followed his Lord. That's what happens when we see Jesus. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Most gracious Father and eternal God, we pray indeed that when we turn to the Word and study the Scriptures, may we see Jesus. When we go up to the house of the Lord and go there to worship, and the book is opened, Lord, may we see Jesus. When we go to the throne of grace and kneel in prayer and lift our hearts to heaven, may we see Jesus. O gracious God, have mercy upon us and give us a fresh view and revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Write thy word upon our hearts. May we take it with us, meditate upon it, that our own hearts might be stirred. Be with us now, dear Lord, throughout the Sabbath day. Give us all traveling mercy. And in thy will, Lord, return us to this meeting house tonight to worship at thy feet. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.